You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to give us something worth hanging on to. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, over this summer, I was able to go up to St. Louis in order to be a part of a floor committee for our church body's national convention. And as some of you know, my parents live in St. Louis, and so I was able to stretch that out a little bit and spend a little bit of extra time visiting my parents. And it was a great time. And one of the things that happened was one of the days that I was there at the breakfast table, my dad brings this kind of big box of stuff, and he puts it on the table, and he says, Jay, we need you to go through this. And I looked into it, and there in the box was all of this stuff that just, like, screamed of my past. There were all sorts of things in there, but a lot of them were these old trophies that were in this box. And so I started to go through these old trophies, and I started to see what was in there. And, you know, I pulled out one, and it was a trophy from the International Little League Association of Manila, where I had played, you know, T-ball and Little League. And this was nothing more than a participation trophy. This was just like, hey, you did it. But it was still a trophy. I still, you know, obviously we had it for that long. And so, I put that aside. And then in there, I found the game ball from when I hit a home run. And they had given me the game ball because I hit a home run. And hitting a home run was not normal for me. And so it was kind of like, oh, okay, well, like this has some, you know, some meaning to it. And it had a little bit, a little inscription on it from my coach. And so there was that there. And then I started to dig a little bit deeper. And I really, baseball was fun, but baseball probably wasn't my game. And I started to find, I found a swimming trophy in there. Now I was a pretty good swimmer, actually. And this was normally speaking, when you win in swimming, you get medals and you get ribbons. You don't really get trophies. And so I pulled this out, and this was a trophy from a swim camp where I was the best swimmer at the swim camp 2 years in a row. You know, kind of bragging. I was able to be like, oh, okay, wow, like, you know, this was there. And then I pulled out another trophy, and that trophy was this one. I was actually pretty proud of. I was the Greater St. Louis Area Youth of the Year Award recipient, and so that was because I did a lot of leadership stuff and a lot of volunteering stuff and things like that. That one actually came along with a scholarship that I ended up not using, but I pulled that out and I was like, oh wow, you know, that's in there, and I started to you know, put all of this stuff out on the table, and I started to look at all of it, and I started to go, you know what, this has been like a really fun trip down memory lane, but what I need to do here is I need to take all of these trophies and put them back into this box, and this box needs to go to the trash. Because this is just like, it's just taking up space. It's not worth much. And so I did end up taking a picture and putting that on Instagram, just, you know, so that I could still have those trophies if I ever really wanted to look back at them. But there's kind of that sense of trophies that's happening here in Paul's letter to the Philippians. As we've talked about before, Paul's letter to the Philippians is one that he's writing from house arrest in Rome. So he's been arrested, he's been brought to Rome, he's awaiting trial before Caesar here, and he knows that the trial before Caesar, well, it's a 50-50 shot at best if he's going to live. And so because of that, as Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, he's kind of reflecting back on his life and reflecting on that in a way where he's going, okay, this could be the end. And so if this is the end, then what all does that mean? And he goes through, you know, kind of a few different things talking about what it would mean if this were the end of his life. And as he's writing about that, he kind of comes on this central idea. This central idea that to live is Christ. That for Paul, his life is only his life because Christ has been a part of that. Because Jesus has been giving him his Holy Spirit and leading him into all of these crazy situations that the Apostle Paul has been through. You know, through shipwrecks and through meetings at Mars Hill and through talking to people and getting stoned because they didn't like him afterwards. And all sorts of different things that happened in his life. He's reflecting on those and he's realizing that all of those things are there because Jesus has been living in his life. That to live is Christ. And so here at this point in the third chapter where we're taking a look at it, Paul has this moment where he's kind of pulling out his trophies. Paul has this moment where he's looking at all of the things in his life that were things that he maybe felt were really big deals in his past. And so he's writing to the Philippians and he's talking about these things. He's writing to the Philippians and saying things like that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Now, what he means by that is that it wasn't very normal for even Jewish people to grow up speaking Hebrew. Speaking Hebrew was a lot like speaking Latin. Some of you took Latin in high school, but you probably didn't have real great conversations in Latin to other people. And that's because that's not really how we use that language. Well, that's kind of how Hebrew was used during Jesus' time and in Paul's time, that not a whole lot of people really spoke Hebrew to one another. They just knew it well enough in order to read the scriptures. But Paul is saying, I came from such a hardcore Jewish family that not only did we read the scriptures in Hebrew, but I grew up speaking Hebrew to my parents. That was our household language. And so he's like, okay, so that's something big to know. And he went on and he was like, and not only that, like, I actually know which tribe I'm from. He says, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, which is something that has been lost for so many Jewish people around his time. Around his time, most people were not able to say, well, I'm a part of the tribe of Reuben or a tribe of Dan or tribe of whichever. But Paul's people were people that kept such a close eye on their lineage that he's able to say, I know exactly who I am. I am from the tribe of Benjamin. That's why I was named Saul, because Saul was the first king of Israel, and he was also from the tribe of Benjamin. And so this is a part of what he's kind of building up his Jewish resume. And he says, you know, as to following the law, I was a Pharisee. Now, to us, Pharisee sounds like a bad thing. Normally speaking, when we call somebody a Pharisee, we're not meaning it as a compliment. But back in the day, it was like the special forces of being Jewish. There were never more than 6,000 Pharisees at a time. They were people that the word Pharisee literally means people that are set apart. And so these were people that, you know, they had gone through all sorts of rigorous religious training. And so Paul is including that in his resume. He's saying, I was a Pharisee. And as for zeal, well, as for zeal, I was a person who persecuted the church. And zeal was a big deal to Jews at the time. They sort of had this hero character from the Old Testament whose name was Phinehas. And Phinehas' big claim to fame was that Phinehas found somebody who is a Jewish man who is fornicating with a non-Jewish woman. And what did Phinehas do? Well, Phinehas went and he grabbed a spear and he threw the spear into both of them, impaling both of them. And when everybody heard that story, they were like, wow, Phinehas is a great guy. And maybe you don't feel the same way, but you have to realize that that was the kind of zeal that people were looking for. And so you can understand why people were like, you know, this Saul guy is a great guy. When he was there helping to stone the Christians, when he was there able to bring Christians back, hopefully from Damascus, and it was that kind of a sense. So he was like, as for zeal, I was super zealous. I was a big deal. And so he's building all of these sort of resume pieces and trophies. And as he builds all of this stuff, he's beginning to set us up for something that maybe we're not really expecting. Or maybe that the Philippians aren't really expecting. He's not doing all of this to say, well, you know, I was all of these things, and because of that, you should listen to me. Because of that, you should give me a hearing. But rather, Paul says, all of those things I count as rubbish. The word that he actually uses is skubala. Everybody say it with me, skubala. Congratulations, you have now cussed in Greek. Because skubala means another word that we have in our English language that starts with an S. So he counts all of this as that kind of rubbish. Counts all of this as something that is only worthy to be left behind. All of these trophies are simply worth the trash can. For the sake of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For the sake of knowing what his future is. For the sake of knowing not his past that has formed him to get to this point, but knowing his future that is forming him to be who he is going to be in the resurrection. Which causes all of us to think, okay, what are my trophies? What trophies are hanging around for you? Maybe some of those trophies are like the trophies that I was talking about earlier. Maybe if you went to your parents' house, you would unearth a box full of dusty plastic things that have your name all engraved on them someplace. Or maybe there's, you know, some newspaper clippings, or maybe there's something else that you have been saving or that somebody else has been saving. Maybe there are those kind of things that are hanging around your house or your parents' house, or maybe those things are a little bit more internal. And those are maybe a little bit more dangerous, because at least the trophies that we have on the outside, well, we can recognize how much dust they're gathering and how much they may not be worth much. But the internal trophies, well, those don't ever gather dust. Those are the ones that we constantly kind of can bring out and rehearse in our minds. And in rehearsing them in our minds, we're kind of knocking the dust off of them. Those internal trophies that tell us who we are. Tell us who we are because of our past. Now, there's certainly some things that are in our past that tell us who we are that we're maybe not thinking are trophies. But there are other things in there that tell us who we are, and we're pretty proud of them. And maybe we should be, and maybe we shouldn't be. Maybe they're actually good things, or maybe they're just sins that we're just kind of proud that we did that. But there's those trophies that exist in our lives. And the thing about the trophy is that it can begin to tell you who you are. And when the trophy tells you who you are becomes tied to your past, not your future. And that can be dangerous. So dangerous, in fact, that all of the other readings in this set of readings that we have for this Sunday are about the danger of setting up those things from the past, where we start off with that reading from Isaiah, where God starts off this beautiful love song, and then we find out that this love song is actually a Taylor Swift song. Where it's like, let me tell a love song of my beloved, and oh, by the way, it's about how I'm going to break up with them because they were unfaithful to me. Where you have this sort of sense of like, what are the people doing? Well, they're not living up to who they were created to be because they're holding on to something in their past. They're not being the beautiful vineyard that God has planted. And so because of that, God has said, I'm knocking your hedges down. And then we go almost immediately to that psalm where it seems like God has already knocked the hedges down and the people of Israel are crying out, hey, would you restore us, please? But unfortunately, that is just another example of them not understanding that they're being called into a future. They're saying, can you restore us back to the past? Can there be something about this that mimics what the past looks like? And even when Jesus gets to the temple, and he walks into the temple and he starts telling parables to the scribes and to the Pharisees. What is it that they are doing? Well, they are hanging on to the past. They're hanging on to the vineyard. They're like the tenants. They're like the tenants who see the servant coming, the son coming, and saying, we need to keep this for ourselves because this is our trophy. Trophies can become especially dangerous, not only because they link our identities to the past, but when they link our identities to the past, we will begin to fight tooth and nail in order to preserve those identities. And that's what Paul is arguing us against. He's saying, hey, look at me. I've got plenty to hang on to. I've got all of these things in my resume, and yet I'm willing to dump all of them. They are all scuba to me for the sake of the upward call in Jesus Christ. I'm willing to get rid of all of my trophies, all of the things about my past that tell me who I am, because there is a narrative in my life that tells me more about who I am than my past tells me. And that is my future. Each one of us has that story inside of us of perhaps a future trophy, if you want to think about it that way, a place in which you are destined to be. A time when you will be in the resurrection there at the throne of the Lamb. And at that time, you will be there in perfect righteousness, in perfect blessedness, in perfect perfectness. And in that moment, that will be the greatest story in your life. And all of the stories in your past, well, they'll seem just like little things. There is a great story that Liz told me about Willow this week, where she even texted me a picture of Willow. Willow's 4 years old. She drew, or colored rather, this beautiful picture. And she was super duper proud of it. And she went around even to everybody at school, making sure that it was directly in front of her so that everybody could see her picture, because it was just that good. And she even had this conversation with Liz where she said, do you think my sisters will like this? And before Liz was even able to like really have a conversation, she was like, of course they will. It's just that great. But even that picture is going to minimize in importance as she grows older. As she grows into the future that is there for her. And just like that, there are things in your life that you are holding on to right now as trophies. But know that they're going to lose their importance. But the thing that isn't going to lose its importance for you is that Christ is living in your life. Is that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again from a tomb so that you could have eternal life, so that you could have a future, so that you could have a future in which all of your trophies are meaningless for the sake of the future that you're being called into. So as you go into this week, you may want to take some time to see the trophies in your life. And there may be a few of those that you maybe even have to muster up the courage to put in the box and put in the trash. But know that you have a far better trophy. The upward call of God for you in Jesus Christ into a future that he has given to you by his death and resurrection. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through his church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.